Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Carvana Technology Corporation Q4 and Fiscal 2012 Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. Before beginning its formal remarks, Carvana would like to remind its listeners that certain portions of today's discussion may contain forward-looking statements that reflect views with respect to future events. Any such statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those projected in these forward-looking statements. For more information on the forward-looking statements and the company's risks and uncertainties relating to such forward-looking statements, please read Carvana's annual report as filed on SEDAR and which is also posted on their website, www.carvana.com. All currency amounts are expressed in U.S. dollars, with the exception of the company's TSX-listed share price, which is quoted in Canadian dollars. The company's financial statements are prepared in accordance with IFRS, or International Financial Reporting Standards. During this call, the company may also refer to adjusted EBITDA, a non-IFRS financial measure, which is calculated as earnings before interest, income taxes, amortization, stock-based compensation, and various one-time charges, which are detailed in their publicly filed management discussion and analysis. Carvana uses this metric internally, in addition to others, to make strategic decisions and evaluate their performance. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star zero for an operator at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, March 14, 2013, at 2:00 P.M. Pacific Time, 5:00 P.M. Eastern Time. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Bruce Cousins, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator, and good afternoon. I'd like to take a moment to provide some comments on fourth quarter and full year performance, speak to some business highlights in the quarter and key milestones looking forward. I'll then turn the call over to Roland Sartorius, our CFO, for a complete update on Q4 and full year financials. Finally, we'll close the call with an open Q&A session. Revenue performance for the quarter is $8.4 million, reflecting a 17.4% increase versus prior year quarter and our strongest quarter in 2012. Revenue performance for the full year is $26.4 million and reflects a 26.4% decline year-on-year. While the front half of 2012 was negatively impacted with flat performance in our grid tie business, strong performance was restored in the back half of the year. Second half sales were up 30% versus first half of 2012. Some of the key highlights within our revenue performance in 2012: mobile sales were up 26% year-on-year, driven by sales channel improvements and new products. This segment now represents $6.5 million of revenue for Carvana and presents consistent gross profit performance of 30%. To underscore the performance of grid tie sales, given the uncertainties in the Ontario FIT program, first half sales were $650,000. In the spring of 2012, these uncertainties were resolved, and second half sales realized over $4 million, with gross profit 24.6%, a marked improvement year-on-year. An overall lack of large projects within our signals and illumination business continued throughout 2012, we believe reflective of general economic conditions. While disappointing in 2012, we believe this presents a meaningful upside opportunity looking forward and are seeing a notable improvement in sales pipelines and tender activity in Q1 2013. A decline in our aviation business in 2012, with sales of $3.5 million, represents the softest year in the past four in this category. This segment has been heavily impacted by a lack of U.S. defense spending. Significant investment has been made in sales and marketing effort in 2012, repositioning this portfolio for civil applications. Improving results on this front will be a key focus in 2013. Also, we've had an extremely busy year in new product development in the marine segment. In 2013, we'll see the launch of eight new products, including new technologies for monitoring and control. This represents our biggest launch year ever for marine and positions the company well to reclaim share in this market. I would summarize 2012 as a tough sales year within our signaling and illumination businesses. Our efforts in revitalizing these businesses through acquisition, new products, and strengthening sales channels will reverse this trend in 2013. Roland will provide more color on sales performance now in the financial update. From an EBITDA perspective, we finished the year at $2.8 million loss versus a loss of $3.2 million in prior year, an improvement of $400,000. Adjusted EBITDA for the fourth quarter was slightly positive at $8,000, marking the potential for positive EBITDA performance in the business. We believe with the restructuring steps taken in 2012, together with the sales expectations looking forward, positive EBITDA is attainable in fiscal 2013. We continue to see significant lumpiness in revenue, hence quarterly results may vary. However, our goal as a company remains positive EBITDA in 2013. We completed the acquisition of Spot Device assets on January the 4th, 2013, and find the consolidation of market share and sales pipeline very exciting. Carmanah now finds itself the category leader in solar-powered pedestrian traffic products with an exciting road ahead. We see the market opportunity for traffic products over $100 million in North America alone, and solar-based applications and ideal technology solutions. Distributors and customers both have responded to the combination in a very positive way. Coming off of 2012 revenues in traffic products of $2.6 million, we expect to more than double this business segment in 2013. Our project in South America continues to move forward, albeit at a pace that remains frustrating to all parties. To remind you, the financing conditionality was removed in late 2012, and only technical specs remain outstanding at this time. Our expectation is to see agreement on final product specs in the upcoming months and commence deployment of product in 2013. Unfortunately, we do not control the cadence of this project and are reliant on government counterparties to advance. This AtoN project is tied to a larger civil project in the region, of which we are a subcontractor, and the overall project is progressing well. We believe this project will complete, however, remain uncertain on timing. We're excited with the new relationship with Acuity Brands, signaling an important shift in our solar outdoor lighting strategy. Our strength is solar, and with high-quality OEM lighting partners like Acuity Brands driving commercial adoption of the technology, we believe we are poised to participate in a meaningful way. Results from this new relationship remain pending at this time. Finally, I would like to comment on some changes in our boardroom. Dr. David Green has resigned his position on the board effective December 2012. David is the founder of the company and continues to be a meaningful shareholder. While absent from the boardroom, we remain close to David and continue to find value from his counsel. Replacing David in the boardroom is Daniel Nocente. Daniel is the former vice chairman of National Bank Financial and brings considerable investment banking and technology industry experience to the board. We are extremely pleased to have Daniel join Carmanah and look forward to his contributions. To recap highlights for the quarter, revenue of $8.4 million, marking a high water point in the year in terms of quarterly revenue performance. Completed the acquisition of Spot Device's assets, catapulting our recovery in the traffic segment. We forged a supply agreement with Acuity Brands, marking a fundamental shift in our outdoor lighting strategy. I believe we are poised for significant improvement in 2013. I will now turn the call over to Roland to provide further detail on our financial performance in the quarter. Following this, we will open the call up for questions. Roland?
Thanks, Bruce, and good afternoon. Consolidated revenue increased by $1.2 million or 17.4% in the fourth quarter of 2012 compared to the same period in 2011, primarily due to higher engineering, procurement, and construction service revenues in the quarter as our solar EPC sector returned to normal levels, and secondly, higher GoPower system sales as our recreational vehicle market has continued to improve. For the year ended December 31st, 2012, our consolidated revenues ended at $26.4 million, a decrease of $9.5 million or 26.4% compared to the same period in 2011. Approximately 50% of this decrease is the result of our significantly lower solar EPC service revenues due to the delays in contract awards, which were caused by industry uncertainties as the Ontario, Canada provincial FIT program was being reviewed by the government during late 2011 and the first half of 2012. We also saw lower revenues from the lighting and signaling verticals due to, amongst other reasons, longer-than-expected timelines to close sales, competitive pressures on older products, and reduced demand from the U.S. Department of Defense for products used to support their activities. Gross margin increased by 1.3% in the fourth quarter of 2012 compared to the prior year, primarily driven by higher margins on our solar EPC service revenues as a result of some cost savings on project materials. The gross margin for fiscal 2012 decreased by 0.2% compared to 2011. Operating expenditures increased by $100,000 in the fourth quarter of 2012 compared to the same period in 2011, primarily due to higher sales and marketing costs, with an increase in the number of salespeople. For fiscal 2012, operating expenditures increased by $500,000 compared to the same period in 2011, primarily again related to sales and marketing resources. Other expenses decreased by $4 million from fiscal 2012 compared to 2011. In 2011, we incurred $4.1 million in other expenses related to the write-off of our investment tax credits that were historically recorded as an asset. The $100,000 recognized in 2012 primarily relates to due diligence and other acquisition-related costs associated with the merger and acquisition activity related to the successful acquisition of the business assets of Spot Devices in early 2013. Net loss in the fourth quarter of 2012 was $700,000, compared to a net loss of $8.9 million in the same period of 2011. For the year ended December 31st, 2012, net loss was $3.9 million, which was primarily driven by lower revenues. This compares to a net loss of $8.6 million in 2011, again primarily due to the non-cash write-off of deferred tax assets and ITCs previously mentioned. Adjusted EBITDA for the fourth quarter was positive $8,000, compared to a loss of $400,000 in the same period in 2011. For the year ended December 31st, 2012, adjusted EBITDA decreased by $3.5 million compared to 2011, to a loss of $2.1 million, again primarily the result of lower revenues in 2012. In regards to liquidity and capital resources, we negotiated a new $5.5 million Canadian dollar credit facility with RBC, which carries certain covenants that currently limit our ability to draw on it. In 2012, our cash balance declined by $2.2 million to $2.7 million as of December 31st, 2012. The net change reflects a cash inflow of $1.8 million from the August 2012 private placement financing and a cash outflow of $2.5 million to support operations and product development, $1 million to invest in GoPower inventory to support their increased sales, and CapEx expenditures of $500,000. Overall, we feel the fourth quarter of 2012 was a positive step forward, with the highest quarterly revenue in over a year, strong growth in our sales pipeline, and good progress on the development of key new products. We also believe we are well positioned for revenue growth in 2013. That concludes my financial overview. I'll turn it back to Bruce now.
So at this time, we'd like to open up the call for questions. Operator?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press 0, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press 0, then 2. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick the handset up first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if there are any questions, please press 0, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. Our first question comes from Michael Sonnefield. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Bruce. I have four questions. The first is you've added somebody to the board who does not apparently have a scintilla of experience related to the company's business, and we'd like to understand your thinking of that. The second is the year was clearly a disaster. Was this expected? And if not, what went wrong? The third is there is no end in sight to the losses you have reported on your watch. What will stem that? Will you cut costs further or just pray for revenues? And the last is that you have reported on the successes of your lowest margin businesses, but not the failure of the businesses that you're best known for, which is illumination and signaling. What will turn those around?
So I'll take them one by one, Michael. First, in terms of the add to the board, I will say I'm delighted to have Daniel join the board. Daniel has many years of investment banking experience in the technology space, and as well considerable experience in the capital markets. And I think on both of those levels, Daniel will bring value to the company and in his guidance as a board member. So, you know, I and the board completely are delighted with his joining. You know, the year was a disaster, and what went wrong? Your second question. It was a tough year. It was a tough year on many fronts. We were faced with some difficult situations in Ontario with the FIT program that set us on our heels with our EPC business. And, you know, we made some tough decisions in terms of weathering that situation and staying in the game. And, you know, we saw that business come back online by the June timeframe. And revenue, although we didn't make up the year with that setback, revenue came back notably in the grid tie business. Other segments of the business throughout, you know, it was a soft year. This is a company that had invested extremely heavily on our solar outdoor lighting play and to the expense of many other aspects of the business. And as I joined the company in late 2011, you know, I realized that in the absence of some meaningful improvement in our progress in our solar outdoor lighting business, we were incredibly vulnerable with the signaling elements of the business and the mobile business. And I made the difficult choice of putting effort back into those legacy businesses to restore some vitality and sustainability into the company. And I think as I look at how 2012 played out for us as a company, you know, it was definitely a significant change in focus. We've pulled back notably on our belief in solar outdoor lighting. And, you know, we remain optimistic that that market will open up, but it wasn't opening up with a timeline that's under, you know, supported our financial health. And as a result of that, you know, a lot of product development in the signaling businesses and a lot of groundwork laid in 2012 to get those back on track. So, you know, I kind of look at fourth quarter as an early indicator. It's only a single quarter, but it's an early indicator that we're seeing some progress in that specific area. And frankly, I'm optimistic for continued progress in the signaling businesses as we move forward in 2013. GridTie is back online, and we have a meaningful pipeline and backlog in that business. And, you know, this company needs to get back to neutral to positive EBITDA to sustain ourselves, and I believe that we are on the track to do that. So, Michael, have I hit your four questions here in a broad sense?
First of all, yes. The only one that was not clear to me is that the EPC business and the distribution business have typically not been the drivers of Carmanah. The signaling business has been. And I didn't quite understand what progress has really been made, not in terms of platitudes, but actual results in revenues and new products and how that's likely to continue on.
Yeah. You know, clearly, so let me take them one at a time. First, the mobile business for us is a pure distribution play. We're a branded distribution play in the portable solar power area for the RV and the work truck space. And, you know, it's a business that generates 30% gross profit for us as a company and positive cash flow. It's a business that had languished somewhat over the last couple of years given limited inventory investment. And I made a decision to put a little more inventory on the shelf to better underpin some customer service metrics. And the result of that is our business is up 26% year on year. And I will tell you, you know, with the first quarter unfolding as it is in the mobile business, you know, we're off to an extremely positive start in that business in 2013. So, you know, an example where you put a little bit of attention and just a nominal amount of investment back into the business, and it is certainly paying dividends for us. Is it a core strategy for us as a company? No. I think it's a complementary offering to what we do. What we do is solar. We are a solar technology-based company, and these portable solar power solutions are very complementary for us, but it is not the core strategy of this company. On the grid tie business, similarly, I guess what I worry about fundamentally on our grid tie business is, you know, we have not made progress in revectoring that business beyond Ontario. And I worry about that. I give myself a failing grade in that respect. Ontario has been opportunistic for us. We participated in a wonderful government subsidy in the area. And there's a meaningful backlog and pipeline ahead for us in the grid tie business, but with a very finite life. You know, I believe, frankly, that we're looking at an 18 to 24 month life remaining in that business in Ontario. And Carmana, if we choose to remain as a vibrant player with EPC services, we need to look beyond that region. And that's something that's getting considerable attention in this business right now.
And just finally, given the level of overhead that Carmana continues to carry, how much growth at the margins that you're seeing will it take to ever get to a positive cash flow?
I expect to have a positive cash flow in 2013.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Mike Plaster from Solomon Partners. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Hi, guys. Just a few questions on some of your new contracts and so forth, specifically the $10 million marine contract. You mentioned in your opening remarks about some government parties sort of driving the timeline. I wonder if you could elaborate on that a bit more and perhaps clarify if funding is still an issue with respect to that.
So first, we've not disclosed the specific country that contract was set up. So I equally won't disclose the governments that are involved. But I'll say in general terms that, you know, whenever you have a large contract and the magnitude of that particular deal, as I've noted in my comments earlier, we are a subcontractor. There's an AtoN element to this that is a $10 to $12 million subcontract within a very large, master project. We're a very small piece of the equation. And we're dealing with government bodies that are moving this project forward. And it has been complex and slow and trying throughout. It is moving forward. The nature of this project, it's opening up a river to a navigable waterway, and a lot of the work involved is civil engineering, dredging and opening that river, and that work is progressing. So elements of the project are moving. We just have not been able to get clearance on pressing forward on the AtoN piece, itself. So the financing has been sorted. And the financing has been put forward for the project. But there's a second kind of element of conditionality in our subcontract, which is final agreement on technical specs. And we have been in a holding pattern for some period of time to get people on the river and working telemetry and engineering design to get that final agreement on specs. So there's a few clearance items that we need from the government counterparties. We expect that could happen in the near term, but I don't control the cadence of that.
Okay, so with respect to the finalization of those product specs, do you see that as being a fairly routine matter, or is there a risk of delays or not being able to sort of come to terms on that?
Mike, is that for that particular project you're talking?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking?
Yes. Yes, just the specs for the final technical specs requirement.
Yeah, interesting question. I would say in general terms, the technical specs have time has been our friend in that regard. When we initially signed this contract, which is frankly it's more than a year ago. The technical spec or design of the product that was contemplated at that time was a push for Carmana. It was doable, but it was moving us onto a technology platform that we were, a little bit tentative about. We have, in that intervening period of time, advanced development on an alternative technology to solve the technical requirements in this deployment. And we've had the opportunity to work with the regulators in country to gain support for that technology. So, you know, time has been our friend from a technical spec. It is not in our product offering today. It's something that we intend to launch in the immediate term as part of our commercial offering. And this project overall has helped us move forward on that front. So
okay,
do I see technical risk involved in this? At this point in time, I see a very low level of technical risk remaining.
Okay, great. That helps. Are you still, with the new product, are you still expecting it to be at your typical marine product margins?
It will be at least that level of margin.
Okay, great. Okay, and just to shift gears, the supply agreement with Acuity, are you able to perhaps quantify what sort of demand you might see coming as a result of that?
You know, what I will tell you on the relationship with Acuity is, you know, this has been an aspiration for Carmana, and I think many solar outdoor lighting companies for some period of time, to have the major lighting players embrace solar as a power source and really help drive market adoption of this solution. And as I look around the industry, I see other similar partnerships. You know, we Carmana have had other OEM relationships in our past within solar lighting, and we've not seen results on it. So, you know, frankly, as I approached this partnership opportunity, I was quite tentative. And you know, frankly, the proof is in the pudding. What I will tell you to date since signing our supply agreement is, you know, Acuity continues to impress me as a very committed partner in this relationship. And my team is actively involved in a significant amount of work underpinning their planned launch and sales training, et cetera, et cetera. There's been a flurry of activity. So, you know, the early evidence is encouraging, but what matters at the end of the day is the demand comes online and we see meaningful revenue from it. And I have nothing to report on that today, but I remain optimistic.
Okay. In the past, you've given us some guidance in terms of your expectations for overall revenues and margins going into the new year. Is that something you're able to provide this time?
You know, we've not provided specific guidance. You know, I've given you some elements of guidance throughout my prepared comments earlier. EBITDA positive is an important threshold for this company this year, and that will be a key underpinning. Revenue performance in some of the segments, traffic specifically, we expect to more than double our traffic business year on year. But overall guidance, no, we've been reluctant.
Okay, that's it for me. Thanks, guys.
Our next question comes from Rupert Murr from National Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen.
Rupert?
Hello,
Rupert.
Getting back to Acuity Brands, what will be the costs for you that will be associated with ramping up any product development activities or sales activities?
So de minimis at this point in time, Rupert, the solar engine that we produce today aligns well with their luminaire. So it's a de minimis amount of effort to underpin their launch. They have aligned on two specific products in our solar engine offering today, and we're ready to go. From a capacity standpoint, our supply chain is with Flextronics. And it's imminently scalable. So I'm not looking at capital investment for capacity nor product development to move forward in that relationship.
Okay, and you're not giving any guidance on the scale of what the sales could be for you, but do you have a sense of how long it might take before you could see sales?
I would like to see some tangible progress on this in the April-May timeframe. So I believe that at our second quarter call, we will have something to talk about.
Okay, and on the spot acquisition, so you've mentioned you're expecting you could see a doubling in the traffic sales this year. How much do you think that acquisition could contribute to your Q1 results? Would you be able to give an order of magnitude?
Both top line and bottom line, I'll look to Roland.
In percentage-wise, probably increasing the traffic revenues by, I'd say, probably 25%.
Okay. Roughly where
between
were the
between 15 and 25%.
Where were the traffic revenues in 2012?
Yeah, let's be clear. Traffic revenue in 2012, we closed out the year with $2.6 million. We will more than double that business this year.
Okay. And then finally, you talked a little about the Ontario market, the solar EPC business. So there is some risk that the Ontario market will not be there in 18 or 24 months. And you've talked about looking to diversify the business. Can you give us a little more detail on what you could do with that business, where you might be able to grow the EPC business, and how you would execute that plan?
Yes, absolutely. So a couple of comments on that front. One, our focus has been grid-tied rooftop solar. We are also capable and have done in our history ground mount solar power plants. So that would be one area that we could contemplate. Second, Carmana has done a lot of off-grid solar power plants in our history. And, we've got a fair install base of those types of products historically. It's something that we could contemplate revisiting, particularly with the strength that we're seeing in the resource sector right now. Mining, those types of applications, there's an interesting solution available there. But, I think, frankly, it's going to come down to a geographic question for us on the EPC services. I think the Ontario market has its risk. But beyond Ontario, we're starting to look at state. If you look stateside into, for instance, New York State, the viability of a rooftop solar power plant is quite high, independent of a government subsidy in New York State. So, possibility for us moving forward.
So you would still look to use Ontario as a base for growth of that business, perhaps?
Yeah, I've got an EPC team of 6 or 7 people. Between engineering, project management, and procurement, that are very good at what they do. They've got a meaningful install base behind them, and they're not tied to specifically to Ontario in terms of what they do.
Okay, well, very good. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Once again, for any questions, please press 0 then 1 on your touch-tone phone. Our next question comes from Rick Peterson, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Arbiter. Bruce Rowland. Pieces of this question, I think, have been answered. You were speaking, Bruce, to the lumpiness and the slowness of some government contracts and revenue in the past. And if we're looking at positive EBITDA 2013 and some increase in sales, what would be the mix in 2012 on private versus government business, and where do you see it being in 2013 or 14?
Yeah, great question. So, where that question is particularly acute for us, Rick, is in the aviation business. We've been heavily reliant on government work in the aviation business historically, and I would say that, comfortably more than half of our business is underpinned with government projects. So, hence the disastrous year, as Michael characterized earlier, in that business. It was tough sledding. We simply did not see tender activity on that front, and it hurt. So, looking forward to 2013, we are already seeing in our pipeline of opportunity a number of government tenders that have come forward. So, encouraging. But at the same time, we've put a lot more effort into civil applications to try to mitigate that risk. So, you know, aviation for us is perhaps one of the key areas where government is an important underpinning for us in the tender or in the business. You know, marine less so, although, you know, again, our marine business typically works with coast guards in Canada, the U.S., and many other countries around the world. And we've seen a lot of pressure on budgets in a lot of those Coast Guard authorities over the last 18 to 24 months. So, you know, we believe that that as well will open up a little further in 2013.
So just the final part of that then, Bruce, did I hear comments about 8 new products, and I'm sorry if I just, you know, heard that wrong, but would these be products that can be either government or private sector clients, or can you just a view of where these new product launches are going?
Yeah, one of the trends that we're seeing in the marine space is a move to privatization. And then equally, you know, we've relied heavily or focused heavily on governments in the past with marine, and we haven't been perhaps as attentive to private groups involved in the marine space, such as the oil and gas industry, offshore wind, those types of private applications that require AtoN solutions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think, where was I going with my comment? There's a lot of opportunity, I think, for us to push more toward the private side. There's an overarching trend in AtoNs toward privatization with a number of Coast Guards authorities around the world. And there are some technology solutions that we have been developing that play extremely well to a privatization play for AtoNs. So we are moving into the world of communications and control systems with these self-contained beacons, such that you can remotely monitor the health and vitality of an AtoN from a website. And a number of countries around the world move toward a privatization play for the management of their AtoNs, I think the likelihood of those types of technologies gaining more traction is quite high.
Okay, thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Michael Sonofield. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Bruce, you mentioned that you're going to get to cash flow positive this year, and given the losses of last year, unless you've given other guidance, I would assume short of cutting expenses, you need to increase revenues at current margins somewhere between $10 and $15 million. And you've mentioned the EPC business and the distribution business, which are not big enough to make up that difference. So I'm assuming it's coming from signaling and illumination, although with Acuity it's not clear how much revenue can be driven from that. So the question is, A, do you know what your market share is in market standing in signaling and illumination? And am I correct that you need to generate $10-plus million in those two areas to make your numbers?
Yeah, so first, Bill, I'll take the second part of your question first. You know, do we need to see about $10 million of revenue lift? You're spot on. To get to an EBITDA positive level, that's the magnitude of revenue growth that we're looking at. We have made some reductions in operating expense late in 2012 that will help us. But bottom line is we're looking for a magnitude of a $10 million lift in revenue to get where we need to be. In terms of our share position by these markets, you know, what's shifting for us, Michael, in terms of our signaling application is, you know, we have opened up our focus on the markets. How do I articulate this better? As example, you know, we have typically in the marine segment done solar self-contained marine beacons, and we've been limited to a 4-mile range lantern. And we've defined the market accordingly. With the new products that we are pushing into in 2013, we're moving beyond that 4-mile limit in terms of range and intensity on the product and opening up the available market to Carmana with this product. So, you know, looking retrospectively, We were a fairly small market share position in the 4 mile and below AtoN market, and I would say a very small market share in a market defined larger than that. The market is opening up for us, and our opportunity for penetrating, I think, is very real. So, segment by segment, in the aviation space, I do not have a good market share analysis on where we stand in the aviation space today. I would tell you that our share of the overall aviation space is low single digits at best. We've hardly cracked into that marketplace, and I believe there's opportunity to do so in a meaningful way in 2013. So back to your question on where we're going to get $10 million, more than doubling our traffic business will be a meaningful contribution in terms of revenue step up in 2013. There's definitely a recovery at hand on our grid tie business. We closed 2012 with $4.7 million grid tie business. It will be notably larger in 2013, I expect. Our mobile business continues to track very strong. We came off a 26% growth year. There is the opportunity to put those kind of numbers up again in 2013, provided we stay on our game. And then 7 new product launches in the marine segment, accessing a much larger available market, there's headroom there.
So when I asked market share, I was trying to understand, are you the number 2 or 3 or 4 player in these markets? Because with single-digit market share, you can't be even the number 2 or 3.
No. The only market that I would say to you that we're a leader in is traffic. And if you look, coming off of the combination of Spot Devices and Carmana, in solar-powered pedestrian traffic solutions, we are the dominant player.
But all
of the others, we are a small player.
And my final clarification is you said that there were other solar businesses that had partnerships with corporations like Acuity that were successful models, but I don't think that's accurate. I don't think those have been successful models, so you must be looking to break some new ground that would be advantageous to Carmana. And is it a high-margin business to Acuity? What is it that attracted you to Acuity, given that others who have tried to do that have found it has not been a successful partnership?
Well, perhaps I was unclear in my comments, Michael. I don't want to suggest there are other successful examples of such partnerships. In fact, just the opposite. I see several other such partnerships that have not gone anywhere. So when I was asked earlier about, the upside for the Acuity relationship, I was reticent to share a number. The proof is in the pudding here. The relationship is new and fresh. The actions are consistent with our expectations, but I haven't booked an order yet. So I remain anxious. I believe that Acuity has the presence in the lighting industry to make meaningful headway into solar outdoor lighting should they choose to focus on that in a concerted way. And we continue to work closely with them to help them on that front. We're optimistic with what we see to date, but the results will be the final arbiter here.
So is it fair to say that by your own definition, there's literally only one segment, which I think you said is $2 million of revenue, where Carmana is truly the market leader, and that in every other segment of Carmana's business, you are either third, fourth, or fifth? And do you have a policy of focusing management's efforts on the few things that Carmana could do extremely well, or are you going to continue to be a player as third, fourth, or fifth player in all of these markets?
Yeah, great question. And I think the short answer is, that's something that we will continue to sort out as a company. We can't afford to just lumber along at 3, 4, or 5. What Carmana has been able to do very well to date in our history is leverage our technology development across a number of very different applications, whether it be marine, aviation, obstruction lighting, et cetera. We've been able to leverage and put a toe in the water in some very large markets. But you know, we can't afford to continue to play that way. So I expect as we move forward in 2013 and beyond, the focus will narrow in Carmana and areas that we are a third, fourth, or fifth player. We're going to have to take those tough choices and move away. I've not made those calls as of yet.
What will it take to?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I've just given that this management team has been on now for a year and a half, or close to a year and a half, and given the, as you've confirmed, sort of disaster of last year, how much more impetus will it take to start making those decisions?
Michael, I've already made those, you know, some of those decisions. Our shift in strategy on outdoor lighting was a difficult choice for us to come to terms with. A lot of analysis, a lot of consideration. You know, we have focused what we are good at in solar outdoor lighting, and we'll leave the luminaire piece to our partners. So as a result of those decisions, we have reduced our operating expense as a company, and turned our development efforts into other areas. Traffic, we've got some good early results, and that continues to be a centerpiece for us in signaling. 2012 was a heavy development year in the marine segment, and I've highlighted the number of new product launches that we are bringing forward in marine in 2013. But quite frankly, we've got to get some traction now and leverage that development investment. So we will pull back somewhat in our marine development as we validate our success in this space. And the aviation market, you know, I've spoken to that in my earlier comments. You know, we've relied heavily on a government underpinning for aviation historically. It has clearly presented as a tough year in 2012. I can't afford to play in a segment with that kind of volatility. So we have positioned ourselves for the civil aviation space. And if I do not see some meaningful headroom in there, you know, fairly quickly, then we're going to have to take that tough decision.
Thank you.
Mr. Cousins, there are no further questions. Please continue.
Well, if there are no further questions at this time, I would like to thank all for joining us today and hearing our comments. I appreciate your continued support in Carmana, and have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call for today. If you have any further questions, please call Carmana's Investor Relations toll-free number at 1-877-255-8483. Thank you for participating. Please disconnect.